This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 14th, 2018. Shore up righteous living.
Holy Communion, the Last Supper. Jesus used that meal to prepare his disciples for life without him, without his physical presence, and left us such a gift as we remember Jesus through the bread and the juice. He was helping them, and the communion helps us shore up for life.
Shore up. That's what we're talking about this month, shore up. It comes from a Dutch word, shore, a noun which means a prop, or shoren, a verb which means to prop, shore up, literally to support or to prop up, like propping up a wall that's weakened, or propping up perhaps a dam or a levee where the floodwaters are about to break through, or to shore up a structure. We're going to hopefully see that shortly, a couple miles up the road here as a new construction is going up. We see it shored up so it stays in place as it's being built, but it can also be taken more figuratively to shore up support of one's position, or shoring up one's attitude, or shoring up one's faithfulness.
So this month we're talking about shoring up against anything that would draw us away from Jesus, from what Christ calls us to, from what Jesus has in store for each one of us. And that also means shoring up against Satan, his schemes to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Shoring up against those aspects of society, our culture, the world even, that would pull us away from God and what God has in mind. Shore up.
And so we're using the book of Ephesians from the New Testament of the Bible, the second part of the Bible, as our primary shore-up guide this month. This book is actually a letter that Paul, one of Jesus' most passionate followers, a letter that Paul wrote to the church that he had established at Ephesus in Greece. And the purpose of this letter was to encourage, to shore up those people of that faith community, to shore up against things that would tear them down, things that would come between them, things that could weaken them as a body of believers. And so last week, Mike Osmond shared a message where the text was from Ephesians 4, and he looked at the importance of unity among the believers. Today, we're going to pick up where Mike left off in chapter 4 and then go on into chapter 5, about halfway through 5. And our focus this morning is shoring up through righteous living.
So the overall theme for January is shore up. And today's message is about righteous living. Righteous living. Living a life where we're faithful to God and God's purposes and plans, what God calls us to do, and living the way God wants us to out in the world. It really does go beyond living right. You see, living right is measured against living wrong. Living right is measured against living wrong, and that is merely a human measure. Righteous living is living a life that is right and pleasing to God. There's quite a difference, because in righteous living, God is our plumb line, not the ways of the world. Big difference. To have the attitude to be more Christ-like, above and beyond merely just being right or living right. When we did some preparation for this message, gotquestions.org gave us this. The Bible's standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior and every word. Wow, that's a lot more than just merely being right.
So what does that look like? Well, Paul shares it through this book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, please open and follow along. We're verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. If you have your smartphone, you have a Bible app on there, please turn to that or follow along on the screen. Ephesians 4, starting at 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed.
The Gentiles that Paul talks about, he's meaning those who are outside of the faith. And so Paul is sharing that righteous living means living in a way that is new and different. Different than we were before we claimed Christ. We talk a lot about when we accept Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. It means putting away those behaviors where we lost sensitivity to decency. And how easy is that? Because we just get bombarded with all kinds of things, and then we forget that, we get used to it. And this is what Paul's talking about. We get bombarded and we lose our sensitivity to decency, to decorum, to dignity, and we end up turning ourselves over to things, indulgent kinds of things, impure kinds of things, greed. And all of this has to do with having an all about me kind of attitude. Mm.
Section of scripture we just shared, Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 19. We like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in his Bible version called The Message. Here's how he shares it. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion.
And so Paul's message that he wrote 2,000 years ago is as applicable today as it was then. If you're a parent, you have talked to your kids about going along with the crowd. And when we say that, we generally meet a crowd that might not be good for them. Now, there's good crowds and there's bad crowds. There's crowds that can build us up and point us toward God and the ways of God and God's standard. And there's crowds that can lead us down a different road and actually pull us away. And so Paul warns against that. And he continues to say in the message, that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected to that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces. I love this. God accurately reproduces his character in you.
And so when we claim Christ as Savior, it's a new day and it's a new you. The old is gone, the new has come. But here's the thing. You and I, we do not have the strength, the power, the gumption to do this thing on our own. We might think we have, but we're wrong. There's no way in the world we have what it takes to live righteously in and of ourselves because of imperfection, because of sin. We're not strong enough to decide on our own to be righteous and to be able to live that out. We're not that good. I hate to tell you. It's only possible through God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So instead of trying to live righteously through our own strength, what we have to do is give our lives over to God and allow God to live through us, to work through us, and to bring about righteousness, oftentimes in spite of us. Our focus then becomes not so much doing what is right, but being children of our Heavenly Father, being followers of Jesus Christ, being empowered by God's Holy Spirit, and in the words of the message there, taking on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Now that's righteous living.
Paul continues on in Ephesians 4, after what we just read. He goes on to say that we should speak truthfully, and I would say truthfully in love, to our neighbors, and our neighbors, everybody but ourselves. And because truth speak unifies us. I believe that Mike talked about unification, unity in the body of Christ. Paul talks about anger also and shares something that many of us have heard: do not let the sun set on our anger. And the reason for that is really important, because the longer we operate in that anger, the longer we allow that anger to fester, it kind of like infiltrates the pores in our body, it becomes sin and the devil gets a foothold. And so Paul warns against that. Kind of clear it up, talk, get through that. And we need to do everything we can to keep Satan at bay, because as I said a few moments ago, Satan's sole purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy our lives and our relationships and our relationship with Jesus Christ. He's miserable. Miserable, and wants us to be miserable as well. So we can, part of our armor, which we'll talk about next week, is that we need to put on Christ. And we can only do that when we give ourselves, our lives, over to the very one who created us. That we tap into God's Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that flows through and gives us strength to resist those temptations, the evil, the sin. Well, then Paul makes a little transition from the spiritual to the practical. He talks about stealing. He also shares about using our hands to be useful, something positive to share with those in need.
And then Paul continues on verses 29 through 32 and finishes out the chapter. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Righteous living involves using our words to build one another up, not tear one another down. Mike last week used the word edification. We also use that word. It means to build up, to be an encourager, to be a lifter-upper, to encourage walking it out in obedience with Jesus Christ, not a discourager. And unfortunately, this week, we have heard some very unrighteous words, words that discourage, words that divide, words that sting, words that hurt at the very highest level in our land. It is not only unrighteous, it is flat out wrong. Flat out wrong. We stand against the words that President Trump has said. We stand against hatred. We stand against abuse of power. And I know that it's not just those words that were said, but it has permeated our world in so many ways. But we have to address what happened this week because it was ugly. Connection Church, God is calling us to be builder-uppers. God is calling us to be his light and his vessel to make a difference, to walk across the lines, to walk across the divides, to love and to care and to build each other up. And I know that each one of you can do that. So let's, in unity, do that together. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us take stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stones.
And so righteous living also, in addition to building up rather than tearing down, to being an encourager rather than a discourager, to doing the right thing, righteous living also means not bringing sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the words we use, by the things we do, by the way we live. Remembering that the Holy Spirit has claimed each of us, guaranteeing our salvation through Jesus Christ. And so righteous living means getting rid of all the negative behaviors that used to be a part of our agenda. And instead being kind, compassionate, forgiving. Here's the tough one. We're to be forgiving as we are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. We are to forgive as God forgives. And again, we can't do that on our own power, friends. It's only with God's power through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that can happen. But that's the mark of righteousness. And it's up to us to seek it through God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So that's the end of chapter 4 in Ephesians, and we'll pick it up at chapter 5. Following God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
So then Paul boils this thing down to basically a single word. And that word, it's a four-letter word, and that word is love. Use that a lot around here, don't we? Yeah. The word's used three times in this section that Carrie just shared. In just two verses, we're dearly beloved, there's love in there, children of God, who are called to follow God's example and walk in the way of love, just as Jesus loved us, giving himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Love, love, love. All you need is love, right? Basically. And that's because Jesus told us, and we share this many times, but it doesn't get old, that it boils down to two main things. You love God with everything you've got, heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you love your neighbor, and as Carrie shared, your neighbor is anybody out there. Everybody out there is my neighbor. Love God with everything you got, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So first of all, you better love yourself, because you're going to spend a lot of time with you. And it's tough to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love here. Love God, love neighbor as self. If we did these two things diligently, faithfully, honestly, regularly, if those were our basic goal every day, to love God with everything we've got and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we could not help but live righteous lives. Amen? Amen. With God working through us. Wow.
Beginning at verse 3. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immortal, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
I tend to be a simplifier. I like to take complex things and simplify them. That's what I try to do. And so here, basically, we boil this all down. Paul is saying here, if you claim in Christ as Lord and Savior, act like it. It's a pretty simple thing. He's saying you can't have your foot in both camps. In or out. Be done with the things that occupy those who are far from Christ. Those things like sexual immorality, impurity in general, greed, obscene talk, filthy jokes.
How about the scripture that we can't be lukewarm about hot or cold, or God will vomit us out?
Puking you up.
Well, we believe that the internet has escalated a lot of the sexual immorality, actually to epic proportions, not only outside of the church, but inside the church. And people who would have never dreamed to get involved, to take steps, to walk into an adult bookstore because they might be seen, do other kinds of things, actually can safely and secretly satisfy their sexual appetite in a very negative way. And Paul warns about this, among other things, and says instead of that, replace that with thanksgiving. And it's not just like thank for the day, but thankful that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thankful. And he also says that while you're at it, be cautious of those who preach empty words, who talk a good game. We've all seen that, and we've probably done that. Those who are far from God.
Paul continues. For you were once darkness. He doesn't say in darkness. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the world. That's a whole message right there. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
This analogy of light and darkness that Paul uses really rings with me, because I think that we all have places and spaces in our lives where we maybe are darkness or operate in the darkness, in the secret. And when the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does so well and kind of convicts us, and being able to come out into that light, it is like just chains coming off. Why wouldn't we want to be in the light? Because staying in the dark for too long, nothing good comes. Nothing good. It is not God honoring. And so Paul tells us to live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up from that dead person that you are or were, and let Jesus shine on you. Let Jesus shine through you.
And And then Paul finishes the what we're going to finish today, about midway through the chapter. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Wise meaning tuned into God. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Say the rest with me.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful how you live, Paul says, because the days are evil. And I think we could agree that there's a lot of evil, hate in our world. It was true then, it is true today. Actually, it's the human condition, and that's why we live for Christ and we have this promise of eternity and perfection. Be righteous rather than foolish. Follow God's will and design for your life. Get high, not on drugs and alcohol and those things, excessive sexual pleasures and all those things, but get high on the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. Best high you'll ever have. Make your celebrations not inwardly focused, but outwardly or upwardly focused, giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And so that's Paul's Ephesian outline for shoring up through righteous living, doing not just what is right, but living lives that are Christ-centered, God the Father-focused, Holy Spirit-empowered. And that last part is absolutely crucial, the Holy Spirit power. Because as we said earlier, on our own, we can't do this. We're not that good. We don't have that kind of strength on our own, but the Holy Spirit allows us to tap into God's strength. That's some serious strength. That's some supernatural strength. That's some way, way, way supernatural strength. And the Holy Spirit allows us to tap into that strength for righteous living. Here's the thing, though. It's not a one and done. It's a daily thing. It's looking for God, to God, for the strength and direction each and every day. It's committing our lives, recommitting our lives to Christ each and every day. It's putting the things of this world behind us and remembering who we are and whose we are each and every day. It's giving thanks to God for everything, everything, each and every day. It's remembering that we are children of the light and acting like it each and every day. Allowing the light of Christ to shine not only in us, but through us. It's a daily celebration. It's a daily recommitment. It's a daily walk as we remember that God sacrificed his one and only Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's shoring up against the lies of Satan through righteous living. That's the good news. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. The most holy God, I thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, this shoring up letter, this letter of outlining righteous living, this letter that gives us some insight into how to live in you, how to live with you living in and through us. Lord, I pray that each one here will be open to that relationship with you in which you live in us. Each one here is open to that relationship, Jesus, where you live in us. Each of us open that Holy Spirit relationship where you empower us to do these things. Please help us to never think we can do this on our own, but only through your strength, Lord, through that Holy Spirit power, Lord. I thank you for each one here, and I pray each one here can live righteously in you, shoring up against the evil that's there. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Connection Church agreed by saying, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692.